So Friday night is our final showing of One Sky, and this is a really nice cultural program. There are vignettes from Greece, India, Japan, and the Navajo Nation. So we really get a chance to see how a variety of cultures use the sky, and a really fun program. And then, of course, in September, we have lots of stuff going on, brand new shows, including, of course, supermassive black holes, our Friday night show, some of the largest objects in the universe, most massive, that tend to be at the centers of galaxies and really shape the way the universe has evolved over time. We'll be talking about some of those. Our Sunday children's program is a brand new one, making its U.S. premiere, actually, called The Stellar's Mission Green. You join three aliens who crash land their spacecraft here on Earth, and they figure out that their life support system, their forest, which generates their food and their oxygen, is having a problem, and they have to figure out how ecosystems work. So it's a really great program for kids in that regard. We then also have a music show, which is Radiohead, Black Star. So, of course, Radiohead has a bunch of music that has sort of astronomical themes, everything from, Planet Telex to Black Star to Creep to Sail to the Moon and Disappear Completely. Lots of other fun tunes in that show, set to some stunning visualization, of course, as always. Additionally, we have, of course, the Friends and Family Weekend. We're back to school. It's hard to believe that classes start on Tuesday here at the university anyway. But Friends and Family Weekend is, of course, the 27th, 28th, and 29th. Friday night will be our regular show, the Supermassive Black Hole. Saturday, the 28th, we have 10 a.m. showing of Worlds Beyond Earth, 11:30 Aurora, Tales of the Northern Lights, 1 o'clock Moonbase, 2:30 Big Astronomy, People, Places, and Discoveries, 4 o'clock Worlds of Ice, and then a special showing of Dark Side of the Moon at 7 p.m. And Sunday, in addition to our regular shows, we have an 11 a.m. The Arctic, Our Last Great Wilderness, and a 12:30 Exploration Reef. So lots of shows. Friends and Family Weekend typically is one of our most popular weekends. I encourage folks to book tickets early because we often sell out that weekend. So if you are interested in checking out any of those shows, get your tickets early so that we don't miss out, if you will. Mm-hmm. So lots of programming going on. Additionally, Stars Over Katahdin is the evening of the 28th. That's a special event up at Katahdin Woods and Waters, which is an international dark sky park here in Maine, or dark sky preserve, I should say. And there'll be myself and a variety of other folks will have telescopes out, give folks a chance to see the night sky, explore. Of course, that is a weather-dependent event, but we invite folks to join us. If you do want to come to that, make sure you go to Katahdin Woods and Waters and register, because they do need to know how many people are coming for the event itself. And it's in a slightly different place this year because of a little bit of a change there. So do check out their website for all of the details.
Excellent. And of course, school starting up, everybody will be back by next week. And that means more people wanting to bring their classes up to see what's going on. And it's a good idea to take care of that early, because things get busy.
Yeah, we've already had a number of bookings come in for the school year, and I do encourage teachers, to book their field trips early, particularly if you want a specific date and a specific time, because those things often fill quickly. I know there are some teachers who always want to be on Archaeology Day. Well, if you want to do that, let me know now, not a week or two before Archaeology Day, because there's no way I'll be able to get you in. Or, we have some schools that book multiple trips and want like a trip a month. And we've had a couple of those who've already done so. They're ahead of schedule and have got things locked in and are already on the books, which is good, because that means they get exactly the date and time they want. So book early. We're doing lots of birthday parties, of course, as well. And the other big thing coming up, we'll be doing some announcements about primarily in the month of October and beyond, is this year is our 70th anniversary. Yeah. We were the 9th university planetarium to open in the U.S. And we're celebrating our 70th anniversary. We're going to be doing some events around that, and hopefully even showing you some pictures of the past going way back. I found a really great picture of Maynard Jordan with the pointer at the original planetarium, which is really cool. Have a great picture of Dr. Neil Cummins when he was a very young man at the planetarium as well. So really kind of cool to see some of those. One of Alan Davenport, the director who is there all the way through the beginning of 2014 as well. So again, really great to look back and see some of those pictures and things like that. But we're going to be doing a big celebration and hoping to take the planetarium into the future as well. So we'll be getting into that more in the upcoming months.
Let me know if you find any pictures of me and Jim Fastook's AS9 class in about 1978.
Oh, wow. I'd have to see what I can find. Yeah, I've been sort of poring over the archives, the special collections at the library, which is really wonderful. Found a bunch of stuff there. And then actually there's, been looking at in some of the books that we have too with some of the pictures, but it is kind of fun to see some of the stuff. Yeah. Also found a few pictures from the eclipse in 1963 with telescopes out on the mall area, watching that. So yeah, it's been kind of fun to look through some of these old photos and get an idea. And really great photos also with some kids in the planetarium in the 60s, which was fun.
That's wonderful.
So, yeah.
What's coming up in the skies in the month of September? What should we look for?
Yeah, well, we're getting close to, of course, in fall. In September, we have the equinox. So that will be coming up where you have equal day and equal night. That's the 21st of the month coming up. So that will be a little bit later in the month. Our nights are starting to get longer. We'll also be opening up the Clark telescope on Fridays after our public show is starting next weekend, too. So now that it will get dark early enough to do so. Right now, for planets, we have Saturn is starting to rise around 10 o'clock or so. Jupiter and Saturn in the morning sky. Mercury right now also just before sunrise. And Venus is starting to make its way into the evening sky. Over the next couple of months, it'll get a little bit better as we go forward, and you'll start to see that. Right now, it's very low right after sunset, but in the next few months, it'll start to get better and better. And, now is the time, this month and really next month, prime times to be looking at the Milky Way, because at this time of year, we're facing in towards the center. So that's something definitely to check out. And the other option or possibility, I always like to say, is aurora. We've been having a lot of auroral activity recently a lot of sunspots activity on the sun right now. So if you have a solar filter or those eclipse glasses, you can even take a look and see those spots through that. But there's a lot of solar activity right now because we're getting near the max. And as a result, we've started to see more auroral activity. Check spaceweather.com for your best forecasts of that. And if you get out some evening and you don't see them, use your cell phone, use a camera, take a few second exposure, sometimes even 1 or 2 seconds. They won't be visible to your eye, but the aurora will be there.
Oh, wow.
There was a weekend, I think before last, there were all these pictures showing up. And I went out and I was looking, couldn't find them. Took a couple pictures with my mobile phone, and sure enough, 2 second exposure, boom, the aurora were there.
Nice.
So it is one of those things. Sometimes, they're not visible. Other times they can be really spectacular to the unaided eye. But sometimes, you need a camera to catch them too. But because of all the solar activity right now is a great chance to be watching for that.
Excellent. All right. I have to ask you, we talked about it before we came on this afternoon, the astronauts who signed up for an 8-day trip to the International Space Station that is now turning into a lifetime appointment.
Do you remember the Gilligan's Island and the three-hour cruise?
Three-hour cruise.
Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking some of them might be feeling like that right now. I mean, astronauts train for lots of contingencies. They know that there's a chance they might have to stay longer than they planned or shorter than they planned, depending on things. But this is a little bit unprecedented, as I know that word is overused in the last few months and years. But it definitely, in terms of astronauts, this is a bit of a thing to expect to go up for 8 days, maybe 10 days. And then be finding out that you're staying for several months. So right now it's looking like February. And on the one hand, it's unfortunate, but on the other hand, better safe than sorry. So they don't want a situation where they bring the spacecraft back and something like Columbia happens, right, where it disintegrates upon reentry. They had a lot of issues with the thrusters and the propulsion, and that could be a problem. So they're going to bring it back uncrewed. And right now they're talking about, having the astronauts come back on a SpaceX mission. That being said, the astronauts will have plenty of, there are supply craft that go up and down. They'll have plenty of food. They're not going to run out of air, anything like that. They will be fine for the duration of the time that they have to spend up there. Their families probably are not real thrilled because, again, if you're going to be gone for a week and all of a sudden you're gone for months. Yeah, and you're, you know, your spouse or your children might not be happy with you. But it is one of those things that, you know, it just can't be helped.
And am I right that this isn't the first time this has happened, that it maybe didn't get as much publicity because it wasn't quite as long a stay, but we've had the situation before, maybe with the Soyuz?
There have been times where spacecraft returns have been delayed.
Yeah.
Usually it's been a matter of a few weeks, you know, a couple weeks.
But they've had to send alternate craft before to bring people back?
They have, of course, and then for a while we were relying on the Soyuz craft because we retired the shuttle program. So for quite a while we were, you know, completely reliant on Soyuz. And then, of course, SpaceX got in and we, you know, were able to test that and see that worked. SpaceX also is supposed to do a flight. It's been a little bit delayed because they've had a problem with a helium leak and they were going to be doing a spacewalk. So they definitely want to make sure that everything is tip top shape for that and making sure they can lock down that problem too. I tell folks, you know, going into space, it is a tricky business. It's a very, you know, it's a very exacting business because it is life and death. And so you really need to take the precautions. It's better to err on the side of being overly cautious in some cases. Doesn't mean you can't take any risks, but definitely if you know there's something, you want to make sure that you do it right and, you know, and do what you can to keep the astronauts safe. So they'll stay up a while longer. They'll help the current folks with missions up there. And hopefully they'll be back down in February.
What's the long-term plan? Once we establish a base, a jumping off point on the moon, will we maintain that coalition of nations, maintain a space station in Earth orbit?
It's hard to say. You know, right now, relations with the U.S. and Russia are not necessarily at a high point. That being said, the space relations have been, you know, okay, because people seem to put aside their differences, the astronauts and cosmonauts at least do. But there is currently a plan to deorbit ISS in 2030. And so once that finishes, then the next question will be, will there be a replacement? There's talk of this Gateway station, which is going to be out past the moon. Artemis 2 is actually when they do their launch, hopefully in late next year. They are hoping to, basically test that location for what's called the Gateway station out past the moon. It would probably be NASA. It would probably be the Europeans, probably the Canadians, maybe Japan. So you'll probably have some coalition because right now, even with the U.S. and Artemis, they're working with, you know, the European Space Agency, right, the Canadian Space Agency. I think they may have some bits for Japan, too. So, again, I have a feeling there will probably be a coalition of nations involved. Unless there's a serious change with Russia right now, I would expect that Russia probably would not participate, or would we allow them to? I don't know. That's a hard one to say. It really is. I mean, on the one hand, it's good to try to maintain some relationships there. On the other hand, it's a difficult thing, with the current government there. It's just that's what it is, and there's not much changing that. But it will be interesting to see what happens with that Gateway station. The other thing I think folks have to realize is that is going to make spaceflight different too. We can basically get up to the International Space Station in a couple hours and get back down in a couple hours, assuming we have spacecraft working for that, and not necessarily Boeing. Oh, oops, did I say that? The Gateway Station, which will orbit out past the moon, that's going to be longer. And it's probably going to take 3.5-4 days one way to get there. You will stay for a length of time and then again, but 3.5-4 days to get back. It will be like going to the moon to some extent because it's going to be orbiting out past the moon in an orbit around the moon. So it will be a little bit longer flight. It's not going to be as quick as going up into low Earth orbit, which is good because we should be moving out, but also it's going to be a different dynamic, a different set of, things to take into account and work on. Right. And that'll probably take some time to get it all put together.
Interesting times indeed. Sean, great to see you as always.
Great to see you guys.
Yeah. Sean Latch, Versant Power Astronomy Center, Jordan Planetarium. We will see you next month.
Sounds like a plan.
We are at 16 minutes after the hour here on this Wednesday afternoon. Betsy Lundy from downtown Bangor in just a moment. Bruce with Sports Lit 101 at the bottom of the hour. Let's do a quick check of the weather forecast brought to you by Black's Heat Pumps, the folks to call for installation.